Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 186. This is part two, Division. Today is Sunday, February 13th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. You can also call the comment line. That number is 1-877-489-0922, and the local number is 612-208-0916. Scripture links within the message are in the show notes at Pastor Paul's blog. Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. Part one is on Friday. Part two is on Sunday. For the month of February, these are the messages: battles, division, nothing, from nothing to all things. Have a great month of February. We'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
I think I told you this before, but it's coming up in my mind. Oh, this is some time back. I woke up. I was in a half of a sleep. You ever wake up and you're kind of dreaming and you don't want to wake up and you're in a half asleep? How many have had that happen? And so then anyway, one morning, the Lord awakened me. He showed me a field, and over in one corner of the field were a great pile of plows. Plows of people who had laid them down. And what had happened, in the end, many laid down their plows. And that's what God was showing me. Right where they were plowing. And they turned back. Some were on end, and some were laying on their sides. And so now those who continued to plow had to remove them from the fields and pile them up over in the corner of the field. Before they could even continue. And also, then I went down and I looked at each row just to see what had been done of those that had plowed and had laid down their plow. And you know what? Those walkaways had done, they had barely skimmed the ground. They had scratched the surface with their plow. And then letters came in. We love you, Pastor, but if you do not lay down the plow, but if you do not turn your back in the day of battle, we will leave your church. They had become weary. They had become dissatisfied. They had become sluggards. They had become complainers. You know, the Lord paid the same for those that came at the midnight hour, those that came at, let's say, 5 o'clock in the evening. You're listening out there. And we're in a wrap-up down here in this final end-time ministry down here in the north part of Minneapolis. The reward will be the same if you come in right now. Should probably even be greater. But it'll be the same. If you get in on the very tail end of what's going on down here after this work has been started and after it's going, and you'll help with this harvest down here, God will bless you. You know that? Did you? I know that. I got to know that. Or I wouldn't even be here. Preacher, be encouraged. No, Don, I'm so glad. Dean, Debbie, Stevie, all of you, Dove, that you went to that yesterday and that you learned a lesson from it. Because oh, how many are sitting on the sidelines now, discontented, disconnected, from any purpose. You know what they're into? Studies on how to, but never how now. But also this text applies to you. Their heart is divided, now shall they be found faulty. There are some of people right now that have been awakened for salvation. You're sitting, you're listening to me on the radio right now. I want to lay more interest, the rest of this message, on the unsaved. Because you see, your heart also is divided and found faulty. There is a disease in your heart. See, they don't truly understand their condition. They believe the Bible is somewhat, they believe it. They're saying in their hearts, I can't be all that bad. They get convicted in church, but they slide away with friends and say, oh, how foolish to be frightened by that radio program or be frightened by that preacher. Now, I would say this right now. There's a division in your heart. A heart divided about its personal condition before God is a very deadly sign. You are out there right now in this end time that have heard these programs, been to this church or some other church where they preach salvation. Don't put it off. Don't put it off another day. You're going to have salvation right now. Maybe you do want salvation right now. But then tomorrow it's something else. Today they would have it now, but tonight they would find heaven on earth. Today they would give up on sin. Tomorrow they would love to roll in it. Today they see the emptiness of the earthly pleasure, but tomorrow they would suck it down like a starving hog sucks slop. See, they're not all the way for the world, and they're not all the way for the Lord. They halt between two opinions. Then there are some seekers that are listening to me right now, are divided as to the object of their trust. They trust Jesus, but they trust a little bit in themselves yet. And again, let me say to you out there that aren't saved, a half a heart is no heart at all. It must be all or nothing at all. Isn't there a song like that? All or nothing at all. Won't you take a half a heart the other? I'm saving for myself. But I know you'd rather have nothing at all. Huh? So many have a half a heart they want to give to God. See, Christ isn't going to be a part-time Savior to you. He's going to be an all-time Savior to you. He's going to save you for an eternity. And I'm ministering to you out there right now. You're probably, your mother made you sit down and listen to this program. Maybe you're in some factory and they got the radio turned on and you're listening right now. Maybe you're snickering right now. But see, the decision is up to you. I'm talking to you today. Must be all or nothing at all. Every bit of you. God wants all of you. God came to save sinners. Remember that if you're out there. Don't try to get right with get right before you get saved. Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ right now. All right, let me wrap this message up. And this division also is found in their love, hot today and cold tomorrow. How many find out that a lot of times in our love affairs, in our love of the Lord, in our love of the body, you find out where people are really at, hot today and cold tomorrow. See, a seeker will never get Christ Jesus until he must have Christ Jesus. You must have him. And he will never get salvation until salvation is the first thing, the last thing, and the middle thing. A divided heart will also condemn itself at judgment day. You won't be able to say, I didn't realize salvation's value. And the Lord will say, why did you then tremble under that sermon? Why you knelt and you prayed, but you had a divided heart and you couldn't accept it? How many are hearing this message today? Oh, you need to go out and tell people, don't delay. Get Jesus Christ today. He's the only way. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Get him today. Don't be divided in your thinking. You have a whole Savior that wants you right now. Be honest with God and just say, Lord, take me as I am. Help me with mine unbelief. What nonsense to hesitate in choosing Christ or the world. For what then does it say in the Bible? What then does it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Salvation or damnation, one of the two. Tomorrow you don't know what tomorrow brings. Give it your all. Hold on right now. Grab a hold. Grab a hold of the Savior. Grab a hold of the lifeline that's been thrown out. And come to Jesus with every sin you have. And our Savior is willing, anxious to save you. Is that not worth seeking? To be made a child of God? Don't you think we should minister to those that are out there on the radio? By God, that are having trying to make a decision. Isn't that enough to be a child of God, to be secure in heaven, to be delivered from hell? Come on, right now. Right now, while you're listening on the radio, right now, while you're in prison, right now, while you're at St. Peter, right now. Jesus came, yes, and he gave his whole heart. No division of purpose, no division of plan, no division in obedience, no division in love. And we just go out, every one of you that are listening to me today, you're listening on the radio, you're here today, and compel them to come in, the Bible says. Don't argue doctrine. Don't get into discussions. Don't even get on a prayer chain. So many prayer chains. They're only as strong as their weakest link. And they can cause so much problems. Well, where did you hear it? I heard it on the prayer chain. Reminds me of a song too. I heard it on the prayer chain. Well, they must see in closing here our example as a mission that has no division. No division in our obedience to the Lord, that it's sincere, that it's a sound obedience, that it's an active obedience, and we'll tolerate no other kind. That we won't be like Psalm 78 and 9, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle, like I ministered on Friday night. Because we, like Ephraim's children, are trained, and we, like Ephraim's children, are armed, and we, like Ephraim's children, are also carrying bows, that we have no excuse to turn back in the day of battle. And why do people turn back? Well, Hosea 10 and 2, their heart is divided, and now they shall be found faulty. It's like a faulty weapon. It's like a faulty weapon that has no maintenance. You go to shoot the thing, and it blows up in your face. No, we all need a maintenance and a testing, and we need judgment. Oh, that word strikes fear in people's hearts. Judgment. Why does it strike fear in your heart? There's only one judge, Jesus Christ. There's only one judge, Jesus Christ. There's only one judge. There's only one. Isn't our God a good God? Isn't he a good judge of character? Why does it always have to be, when you mention judgment, that it's bad? Just like I said Friday night, when you go in and look at your little kid's bed, and he gets in, you go inside there and look at his bed, and the pillow's in the middle of the bed, you have to judge that little guy's work. You have to go in there. You're going in there as a loving parent, and you look down at that bed that this 4 or 5-year-old has done, and you say, that is a really good job, Fred. Did you know God is a good judge? When you do your work, aren't you judged? When you're on peace work, when you fly your airplane, aren't you judged? By people when you're up there flying, man, the guy tipped and swayed and did this and did a roll and a flop over and went through a hangar and all that, huh? Of course you're judged. Why is it that judgment always has to be bad? I tell you, there is no judge but the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can judge you, Marty, and no one can judge you, and no one can judge you, because we have a good judge. There's only one that knows your heart and your purpose and your situation and your plan and all about you. And he is the only one that judges. And the Bible says, if you judge, You judge under your own condemnation. I don't want to get into that. I mean, it's a fearful thing to set yourself up as the judge. Here come the judge. When you get to heaven, there'll be a whole lot of people sitting up there. Here come the judge. Here come the judge. Here come the judge, huh? With great big crowns on. You walk in there with them old Nike bent over slippers you've been slouching around in, walking in there. Oh, shut up, you guys. Huh? Here come the judge. Let me close it up. Psalm 57 and 7. My heart is fixed. Oh, my God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I read that early this morning. And I thought, here he is. He says it twice. My heart is fixed. Oh, my God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give thee praise. And then I thought, well, I'm going to have to go back on this thing. That what got him to this situation? So I went up to verse 4, Psalm 57, and it said like this. Here we have David, of course, and he's in a lot of trouble with people. He says, I am among the lions, and I lie, even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue like a sharp sword. You see, he was sort of like a Daniel, howled at and hunted and wounded, but not slain. He was in real trouble, and yet, I read this again, and yet faith made him feel secure, because it says like this, he even lies down in his runaway cave, and it says like this, and I lie down among them that are set on fire. Yeah, the peace of God that passes all understanding. You listening out there, preacher? And it says, even the sons of men whose teeth are like spears and arrows, and their tongue like a sharp arrow. See, I believe malicious men carry a whole artillery right in their armory, a whole armory in their mouths. Teeth like wolves to rip and tear. And a sharp tongue. I believe there is no weapon known as terrible as the tongue that's been sharpened by the devil's grindstone. But fear not, because the Bible says no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every weapon that rises up against thee in judgment. Listen. Thank you, Jesus. I read that this morning, and I just glory in that. Glory to God. Now listen. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every weapon that rises up against thee in judgment. Thou shalt condemn. Look out. Those that judge. Going a step further, they judge only condemnation to themselves. Listening on the radio, people that have disappeared from the seats in this church, people that are in the nomad situation or wandering in a desert situation, flap-mouthed, double sharp tongues, teeth like wolves, people that are roving all over the United States and this world, let me read it again to you. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every weapon that rises up against thee in judgment. Thou shalt condemn those that judge. You will. They judge only condemnation to themselves. Oh, and here is another verse right after 4, which of course is 5. 57 and 5. Listen, there is a danger in what's going on right now. Now, you want to talk about danger? No. I'm talking about people that put judgments out. Don't do it. Okay? So David says in verse 5, they prepared a net for my steps. See, the enemies of the godly spare no pains, but they go about their wicked work with the coolest deliberation. Have you ever noticed that about your enemies? Have you ever noticed that about competitive people in your flying? Maybe there's someone that wants to take your job. And so they extra shine their airplane up. And they make sure their charts are neatly done. Airtime and so on. Did you mark your chart? Well, I'm just using you, you know. You ever notice that? Sometimes you got enemies. And they will spare nothing. Right now, the way jobs are in the United States, and around right now, the jobs are around the world right now, people are biting each other's backs, stabbing each other in the back for jobs. Oh, they will do anything. No weapon shall be formed against thee that will be caused to prosper, and those that judge, judge condemnation and judgment to themselves. Just be cool and fly that airplane. Huh? Oh my. See, they're so busy looking at you, they're going to crash into a tree. Now I'm just using you as an example there. And it goes on, they laid traps and nets. But was David confused? Was David divided? Was he bothered or bewildered? No. Confused, divided, bothered, or bewildered, am I? No. Take my heart, take my whole heart, make me right, make it fixed. Oh my God, oh my God, my heart is fixed on thee. My heart is fixed, and he says it twice. My heart is fixed, oh my God. My heart is fixed. I'm going on. Whew. My heart is calm. My heart is firm. My heart is happy. My heart is resolute. My heart is established. And then he will even sing to God about it and give praise. Now, if your heart isn't fixed and you're in a division in your mind and in your heart, you're in a division, in any kind of division, cut it off, because you won't be able to commune with God. David knew in order to work for God, to commune for God and commune with God, first he had to prepare his heart. It must be fit and it must be prepared. See, because the fitness for duty lies in the orderly temper of the body and the mind. If you have a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But it makes a man willing to undertake and able to finish his work with a, let's say, a comfortable satisfaction to himself. Because if the mind or the body is distempered, a man is unfit for any kind of undertaking. Anything he does, it's in confusion. Because he only has a half a mind to go to work. I have a half a mind to tell you off. We won't tell him off. He only has a half a mind to do it. I have a half a mind. Well, then there's people say, I got a good mind to do this. I got a good mind to kill you. Well, that ain't a good mind. No, we must be in a suitable frame of a mind and body, like a well-tuned instrument. Now, Don, when he gets up and plays, or Dean, when they get up, they have to be tuned. You see, his heart was ready and fixed, and his tongue also. If you get your heart and your mind fixed, your tongue will be all right. Because it says, out of the heart comes these things. Well, how do you get your heart fixed? You listening on the radio, you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't get into all kinds of things. I think people need to be busy. Busy hands are happy hands, the Bible says. See, if your hands ain't busy, your mouth is going to be busy. I told one woman, I said, if they put fingers on your lips, we could all go home. Boy, I said, that'd be a sight. Sold All-American. Auctioneer. But anyway, here it is. He had no inward division, no divided heart. It wasn't faulty. His heart was fixed. Whew. Isn't that great? God doesn't want us to be divided in our ministry down here. God doesn't want us to be divided in our purpose down here and in ourselves down here. And that's just the way it is. And maybe you'll have people say, tisk, tisk. What a person you are, you listening on the radio, because you have a one mind. You got a one-track mind. I used to hear that. And you used to say, that's right. One-track mind. You used to have a one-track mind to stop in the bars. Never ever. The switch there was so rusty you couldn't have switched it any old way. They had a one-track mind. They had tracks so you can get off. You know, they what do you call it? They have switches. Well, that was so rusty you couldn't even move it. It went right into the bar. Woo! Here it comes. Whoa! There he goes. Yeah, I got a one-track mind. My heart is fixed. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My heart is fixed. When you got a fixed heart, you're going to look like you are crazy. The one you fly, don't you get a fix on things? What do you fix on? Do they fix on stars yet, or what do they fix on? Yeah, they fix on stars and the horizon, kind of. They have a horizon thing, and they put a fix on it. They put a fix on it. You need to put a fix on your heart so you straighten up and fly right. No, you got to have a fix on it. You know what? And then you'll lay down. The lions are out there, and the wolves are out there, and they got these sharp teeth and these fangs, and they got these tongues that are whipping around, just like old Dave said there. And he said, but I don't know what's happening. I just lay right down in the middle of all this because I guess my heart is fixed. Good night. Please don't bite each other. I'm going to sleep. That's the way it's got to be, people. Say amen, somebody. Whoa, hallelujah. That's the way it's got to be. I never seen so much. I am so encouraged on here. I never seen so much. Did you ever see so much food in all your life? Wasn't that a lot of food up there? I mean, we took all the way down the boulevard up there with all that food. They had people running away with armfuls of tomatoes and cabbages and potatoes. Man, they were stumbling around. And some of these older women are strong, aren't they? You say, you think you can carry this bag? And they lift it up like that. Hey, I didn't get no corn yet. One hand. Their heart is fixed on getting that grub. They put a fix on it. One hand. But when we were down there gathering this stuff, we had one mind out. Did you see how fast we loaded that thing down there? This guy was down here and said, slow down, preacher. I thought, what a word of encouragement from another preacher. Slow down. I said, no, I got to get up there. People are waiting. Five minutes, that big old truck was loaded. 15 minutes, it was back there again, getting loaded again. And there was a guy standing up there. I says, you mind putting a fix on these things up here and watching them while I go? Well, I don't know. I suppose I can. I'll just tell my wife. I'll tell my wife I will. We are going to stay here till 11:30. It was 10 o'clock then. And then he thought about what he said. He thought about the picture of his wife's face coming. What? Well, if I do leave, I'll put somebody in charge I can really trust. I says, no, you've taken on the job now. Either you take it on all the way or don't take it on at all. Well, it came between duty and the face. Duty. What am I going to do? He says, pretty soon he says, I'll do it! And I said, all right, you are being depended on. Good day, sir. We'll be back shortly. I come back. And he was standing there with two black eyes. No. Point is, people need to be taught how to, having done all, stand, and to be fixed in what they say. Say what they mean and mean. My mother used to tell me now, say what you mean and mean what you say, all right? What do you mean to say? Well, then say what you mean to say and mean what you say. And I'd have to think about that for a while. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Because I was only 3 years old. Say what you mean. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, my vocabulary is so limited. I picked a lot up off of her. Man, oh man, no excuses. My dad was the same way. He had no excuse. None! No excuse. Why you come in? No, I'm busy. At 6:30 at night, you'd be waiting in tables. Now there are people out there, you see. I was playing ball. You're playing ball, huh? You think that's some kind of excuse or something? Now get out there and wait on them people out there. There's no excuse. Don't do this again to me. You understand? He did the talking. My mother did all the beating. Now, they were a couple of characters that were really fixed and really had a strong will to do. And they both got saved before I did. My dad got saved when he was about 76 years old. He'd call up and say, Dad there? Oh, he can't bother him right now. He's praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll call back. Hello, Paul. Oh, yeah. Well, I praise the Lord. Now, I'll talk to you now. He was fixed. He was fixed for communion with God, not listening to to me. See? Well, he listened to me after he got done. See? So that's where we got to come to in this end time situation. We got to have our heart fixed by God so we can commune with God, and we got to be deliberate in what we're doing. I'm deliberate in what I'm doing. You mean you did that on purpose? Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. I take full charge of what I'm doing. My heart is fixed. I got a one-track mind, and it's straight ahead. I got the bow, and I got the Ephraim's armor. I got the whole thing. I have no excuses. I'm a seasoned preacher in the Lord, been into it 14 years. Now, 14 years don't sound like a whole long time, but if you preach, when I was ministering, I was ministering 7 and 8 times a week, plus counseling and going out and going to the prisons and all that. 7 and 8 times a week. Now you add that all up, preacher listening out there, and you take 8 times 14 years, well, I'm about 150 years old or so, as far as experiences go. And then coming down here to the north side, you grow up in a hurry because you find out that you just don't have a whole lot. You learn. You don't so much teach, you learn. And then you teach. It's an experience being down here. And, you know, isn't it an experience for you, honey, to have me down here? It is. I mean, you look at me and you say, now, what does this man get out of this? And finally, you came to church. I mean, you said to yourself, you said, well, now I'm watching this guy. I'm coming in here. He looks like he's for real and so on like that. What excuse have I got for not coming to his church? None. And that was really great. And you know, what excuse have you got? None. I mean, you know, I mean, we can make up all kinds of excuses. We can find out, can't we? But see, now you ran out of excuses. I just kept on till everybody ran out of excuses. And, you know, I'm gonna keep right on till all my black friends that come in down here run out of excuses, and we're going to have a choir down here, and, you know, see? Yeah, and we'll just run out of excuses for not loving each other. Ain't that right? I mean, I slowly dispelling all of these myths about black and white can't get along, and like the devil takes them like two little puppets and says, shakes them, you know, and gets them going like that. But we're dispelling that. And you know what it's coming through? It's coming with a dedication to, and a lot of it's happening through the children. You see, the children are very open. They don't notice things. They don't notice that, you know, like I'm a redneck or anything like that. They don't have that kind of verbiage. They just say, this is Pastor Paul, see? And so when I'm down there, I really love that because they don't say, there's redneck! They don't say that. You know what I mean? That's what we talk about each other, though. I'm just being funny, but it's the truth. But anyway, it is truth, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Yeah. But anyway, they come up, Pastor Paul, Pastor Paul. You know, I love that. And I said, God, if we could all just be like these little kids here, wouldn't it be great? They just accept me the way I am. Crazy. They don't know the difference. Yeah. No, really. I mean, they just accept me the way I am. And I accept them the way they are. You know, they're kind of dumb, but they haven't grown up yet. You know what I mean? They don't know everything yet. And I haven't grown up either. I don't know everything yet. We're all growing. And I think down here on the north side, we're seeing the most wonderful thing. Isn't it great? Isn't the Spirit, this is my opinion of it, and I know it's probably, isn't the Spirit of coming in the mission, isn't it a beautiful Spirit when you come in and, you know, people aren't fingerprinted or made to feel, you know what I mean? Take your fingerprints. You know what I mean? How many kids you have? They're all yours? You know, oh, we don't go through all that. You know what I mean? We just simply accept people, and it's a beautiful feeling of fellowship. You know what I mean? And look it out here. I was thinking about this the other day. You don't mind me turning my back on you, do you? I should have a revolving stage that I stand on. But I was just thinking this the other day. We had a picnic with 5,400 and some people there, and no patrolmen running around. No police, no nothing. Did you ever think about that? No crowd control. The biggest fight we had there was two kids that got in a fight over a balloon. I took their balloon while they were fighting and ran away with it. But isn't that great? Isn't that the way God wants us to be? You know, sharing together. And we're not perfect. We might even get mad at one another once in a while, but we're quick to forgive. That's where it's at, forgiveness. Quick to forgive one another. You know what I mean? So we got something wonderful happening down here. And just a few people that are here today, and you know, my black brothers and sisters that are here today, is an encouragement to me, because I've been down here 7 years. It's like I have, like I didn't just come here yesterday. I've been down here 7 years. 7 beautiful years. I didn't mean to make something. 7 years. Ooh. But I mean, well, maybe that is. Let me think about this for a minute. 7 years I've been down here. And though a lot of times it didn't look like anything was happening, much was happening. Is there much happening out there? Could you clue me in? What's happening out there? What do they feel about this mission? The majority. Okay, let me, I want to get, see, I'm nosy. What's the general consensus on the mission down here, according to the black population?
Are you talking about the...
What do they think about our mission, I mean, you know, as a mission? What do they think about it? Do they think it's good or bad or whatever?
They think it's good. Mm-hmm. They appreciate mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know. They wouldn't be able to, you know, mm-hmm. do a lot of things or, mm-hmm. you know, even feed their family if mm-hmm. it wasn't for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the Lord has brought us all this food. And the Bible says, freely, freely I have given you, freely give it away. So see, Don, are you in there? Don, did you hear what she just said? Okay, I mean, now, so, it doesn't look like nothing is happening. Everything is happening. I haven't got no star out here. I don't have out there. And now, in lights, Pastor Paul, and they don't play great big trumpets when I come in with dish towels hanging down. Pastor Paul, and I don't wander up with one of these king's hats on, with someone holding my gowns. Most of the times I'm in jeans with holes in the pants and like that. But see, a lot is happening when it doesn't look like nothing's happening.
So if you feel a tear,